Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. More action has been taken by Jackson City Council in relation to the City of Jackson's 100 Homes project. During Tuesday's City Council meeting, the Council approved an item for real estate agents to receive $1,500 for each 100 Homes buyer they bring to the city. Shane Laporte, the City's Director of Community Development, referenced conversations that staff has had with Sean LaFear of Norfolk Homes as part of the reasoning for this action.
And he thinks that there are a great number of brokers, agents who have people in the pipeline looking for that under $200,000 home. Maybe not necessarily directing them to our program because agents have to make a living, right? They have to make a living. I also have a responsibility to be fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars. So we're hoping that $1,500 will entice an agent to turn over a client that they have. Hopefully this will build clientele in their book of business well into the future. But there's really very little work to do by an agent on their part. There's no showing. The paperwork is pretty standard. We've got it all set up. So the hours involved, $1,500 for, well, even say 10 hours. 10 hours involved. That's pretty good.
Laporte and Grant Administrator Corey Mays were asked why this move was happening now by Mayor Daniel Mahoney, with Laporte providing the answer.
Why now? Sean came to us a while ago and had wanted to work on a program in which he was going to start to get some private dollars. And Mr. Green and I and Corey said, well, why don't we look at some of the funding we have, and why don't we just take that on?
The item was amended during the meeting to include all real estate agents rather than just realtors, and to clarify that the $1,500 payment to those real estate agents is a flat fee and not a commission rate. City staff say they want to take every step feasible to ensure these funds are expended by the deadline of December 31st of this year. A memo from Laporte states that failure to complete the project could result in the required repayment of remaining 100 Homes funds to the U.S. Treasury Department. The motion passed 6-1, with Councilmember Shalonda Hunt voting no. City of Jackson has approved a resolution honoring and congratulating Pastor James L. Hines for his 38th pastoral anniversary at Lily Missions Baptist Church, 1117 W.G. Wade Drive. Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney recently honored Pastor Hines at the church and said during Tuesday's City Council meeting that he was glad to be able to do it.
I just truly appreciate the way that Pastor Hines shows up for this community. He is truly the people's pastor and always looks to shepherd individuals, even those who are not members of his church. And especially the way that he pours into the youth. That's the other thing that I like highly recognize that he does. So it was an honor to be able to go and honor him. So I appreciate the invitation to be able to be there.
For the next year, Plymouth Street between East Ave and Page Ave will be given the honorary name of Pastor James L. Hines Drive, and signs will be erected to display this honor for all to see. Pastor Hines has served as the pastor of Lily Missions Baptist Church in Jackson for 38 years, providing spiritual leadership, guidance, and encouragement to his congregation and to the broader Jackson community. Throughout his years of ministry, Pastor Hines has demonstrated a deep and abiding commitment to uplifting others, particularly through his passion for creating opportunities that empower and inspire young people to reach their full potential. Jackson City Council extended their appreciation for his leadership, his advocacy for youth, and his commitment to strengthening and uniting the community. Michigan's Attorney General has filed a federal lawsuit in an effort to stop a proposed ICE detention facility in Romulus. Tim Pamplin has more.
You cannot move the wetlands behind the proposed detention center. You cannot move the schools. You cannot move the neighborhoods. And you certainly cannot move the floodplain.
That's Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel appearing with the Romulus City Mayor. The Attorney General said the complaint argues federal officials move forward without completing required environmental reviews and raise concerns about putting the facility in a mapped floodplain. State and local leaders also said they were not consulted before the warehouse site was selected and questioned whether the project fits local zoning rules. Here's Romulus Mayor Robert McCrite.
Romulus is not engaging in a debate over immigration, whether the policy is adopted or right or wrong. We are merely stating that there are processes that must be followed that were clearly avoided here.
The lawsuit now puts the future of the project before a federal judge in downtown Detroit.
I'm Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
An East Point woman facing murder charges after allegedly stabbing her boss to death at a McDonald's will stand trial in the fall.
A hearing was held Tuesday morning for Afeni Muhammad in Macomb County Circuit Court. While attorneys assigned to the case are awaiting further psychological report, Judge James Massaroni set the trial date of September 15th. Investigators say Muhammad stabbed manager Jennifer Harris several times after Harris sent her home from work last July. Muhammad is charged with first-degree murder and carrying a dangerous weapon. If convicted, she faces life in prison without parole.
I'm Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
Napoleon Township police and fire officials are warning residents about a new scam circulating in the community. Authorities say some people are receiving text messages claiming to be from the Michigan Secretary of State about unpaid traffic tickets. The messages often create a sense of urgency, warning of license suspension or legal action, and include links or instructions to reply. Officials stress these messages are fraudulent and say residents should not click any links or respond. They add that the Secretary of State does not contact individuals by text to request payments. Anyone with concerns is encouraged to visit the official website or contact the office directly using verified information. School funding was debated yesterday in Lansing.
The State Budget Office presenting the governor's recommendation for school aid to the Michigan Senate Appropriations Subcommittee. One of the items included a grant given to schools to boost safety. But to qualify, the schools would have to sign a waiver that would allow investigations after a mass casualty event, which many school districts are hesitant to do, which the State Budget Office said only 33% of districts opted into that funding. Republican State Senator Thomas Elbert pointed out the flaws.
I think this is an area where there's bipartisan agreement. It's not working. So I agree with the chair. If the intent is to try to keep kids safe and two-thirds of our kids aren't being kept as safe as possible as they otherwise could be, then it's not working. So I'd say overall it's an epic failure.
That grant, if districts opted in, would give schools about $347 extra per pupil. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
State is working to improve safety and security at prisons.
The Michigan Department of Corrections says the Save Prisons Initiative is a multifaceted approach to prison safety, though just an outline at this point. And part of the issue is staffing of correctional officers. And the Michigan Corrections Organization President Byron Osborne points out the state is suffering through dismal recruitment numbers.
Currently, all corrections officers in Michigan that have hired in after 2012 do not have a pension and they do not have retiree health care. So the state of Michigan and the MDOC are now paying the price for those legislative decisions because now they can't find anybody to come do this job and stay here.
And Michigan oversees 26 state prisons, which houses over 32,000 incarcerated individuals and 10,000 staff members on top of that. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Millions are expected to take part in this Saturday's No Kings rallies. These mark the third protest. Organizers say the call this time is for no kings, no war, no ICE. Participant Lynn Gruber says the number of people being detained is reaching almost historic levels.
There were 37,000 people detained in 2025. And as of January 2026, 72,000 were detained. We are witnessing the growth of detention centers on a scale not seen since the mass incarceration of Japanese Americans and nationalists during World War II.
No Kings 3 rally in Jackson is scheduled for 11 a.m. Saturday at Horace Blackman Park in downtown Jackson, with a march expected to follow around noon. Demonstrations are aimed at protesting the Trump administration, what organizers describe as abuses of power and threats to democratic norms. Similar events have been held in Jackson before, including gathering last fall that drew about 100 participants. Officials say attendees should expect increased activity in the downtown area during the late morning and early afternoon hours. City of Jackson kicking off work on its next master plan, a long-term roadmap that will guide growth, development, and investment across the community. City leaders say master plans are updated every 10 to 20 years and help shape decisions on land use, zoning, infrastructure, and neighborhood priorities. The process is expected to take 12 to 16 months, led by the Community Development Department and planning consultants. Officials say public input will play a key role, with residents, businesses, and community groups encouraged to share their ideas. A volunteer steering committee is now being formed to help guide the effort, meeting monthly throughout the process. Those interested in getting involved or learning more can visit the City of Jackson's website. Jackson City Council approved a street resurfacing project for Bloomfield Boulevard after residents petitioned to help fund the work. The nearly $196,000 project will cover the stretch from West Avenue to 4th Street. About $125,000 of the cost will be paid through special assessments on 31 properties, with individual costs ranging from $800 to more than $7,000. The remaining balance will come from city street funds. Property owners can pay their assessments over 10 years, with the first payment interest-free and the rest carrying a 2.6% annual rate. The project will address deteriorating pavement, potholes, and include sidewalk repairs. Construction is expected to begin this spring. Hillsdale College hosted its first ever Physics Invitational recently, bringing together undergraduate students from across the Midwest. The student-led event featured research presentations, guest speakers, networking opportunities with graduate schools and employers. Organizers say the Invitational was created to fill a gap in local opportunities for undergraduate physics students to share their work. 12 students presented research, including several involved in Hillsdale's Laureates program, which supports summer science research projects. The event also included a networking fair, giving students a chance to explore internships, careers, and graduate school options. College officials say they hope to grow the Invitational into an annual event in the coming years. Commuters in Jackson facing a sharp increase at the pump as local gas prices officially surge past $4. According to AAA fuel prices, the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded in Jackson has climbed to $4.11. This local spike mirrors a statewide trend, with Michigan's average hitting $4.01 this week, a jump of roughly 33 cents in just 7 days. Experts point to a perfect storm of factors driving the surge: geopolitical tensions, seasonal shifts, and supply drop. While Jackson's $4.11 average is among the highest in the state, neighboring areas like Ann Arbor and Lansing are seeing similar peaks. Package of bills designed to improve internet safety and protect kids while online passes its first hurdle. The state Senate Finance, Insurance, and Consumers Protection Committee passed the three bills, making up the Kids Over Clicks package. Legislation would prevent social media platforms from providing addictive personal data-driven feeds to minors without parental consent, demand stricter data privacy and safety settings on digital platforms, and prevent kids from accessing AI companion chatbots. The bills now move to the Senate. Cooley Law School's Innocence Project celebrates their 10th exoneration. Del Crawford's second-degree murder conviction and sentence was vacated yesterday. He was found guilty in the 2007 murder of Tadanisha Williams and sentenced to between 20 to 45 years in prison. DNA testing in October of 2024 proved his innocence. The judge who vacated his sentence said the wrongful conviction wasn't the only tragedy, adding that the person responsible for her murder has gotten away with it for nearly two decades. Ford is recalling more than a quarter million SUVs because of a significant technical issue.
This impacts newer Lincoln Aviators, Navigators, and Nautiluses, as well as the Ford Explorer. Not only can the rear image not display, they can lose safety technology, lane keeping, blind spot warning, and pre-collision assist. Ford will update the software on the image processing module.
That's AutoBeat reporter Jeff Gilbert. He says no accidents or injuries have been reported. And finally this morning, it's a miracle, but a cat was found under the rubble of his home after the tornado in Union City earlier this month. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher reports the cat has several injuries, but is recovering.
Doobie the cat was found under the rubble of his home 2 days after the March 6th tornado when one of his owners, a woman, was killed. He has a leg fracture, his tail was amputated, and he has other fractures, according to the owner of Bronson Veterinary Services in Coldwater, Dr. Joanna Bronson.
Doobie's doing great. He's still with us. His human dad isn't able to take him yet, and that's totally fine. So he's been just hanging out with us, and we've been restricting him and doing his rehab. But he is doing really well.
Bronson says Doobie's home was destroyed, so it may be a while before his owner can take him. She says he's a favorite of his caregivers, and he'd eat all day if they'd let him. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
It's Wednesday, and it's the 25th day of March. Today we celebrate International Waffle Day. It's National Lobster Newburgh Day, National Medal of Honor Day, and it's Tolkien Reading Day. It was on this date in 1911, a total of 146 immigrant workers were killed when fire broke out at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory in New York City. On this date, 1963, Johnny Cash recorded Ring of Fire at the Columbia Recording Studio in Nashville. It was on this date in 1965. Martin Luther King Jr. led 25,000 marchers to the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama, to protest the denial of voting rights to black Americans. On this date in 1967, The Who made their U.S. concert debut in New York. It's on this date in 1968, the 58th and final episode of the Monkees TV show had aired. It was on this date in 2001, Icelandic singer Björk turned heads at the 73rd annual Academy Awards with her infamous swan dress. It was on this date in 2004, the Senate voted 61-38. On the Unborn Victims of Violence Act to make it a separate crime to harm a fetus during the commission of a violent federal crime. It's on this date in 2011, the Oxford English Dictionary added the words OMG, FYI, and LOL. On this date in 2013, two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times columnist and author Anthony Lewis died at the age of 85. Ralph Wilson, founder of the Buffalo Bills, passed away at the age of 1995. That happened on this date in 2014. On this date in 2019, Apple introduced the new TV streaming platform, Apple TV Plus, a new service, Apple News Plus, and an Apple credit card. And it was on this date in 2020, the United Kingdom's Prince Charles tested positive for COVID-19. Birthdays today include Danica Patrick is 44. Nate Bergazzi is 47. He's funny. He's 47 and he's funny. Lark Voorhees, are you ready to feel old, is 52 today from Saved by the Bell. Sarah Jessica Parker, 61, from Sex and the City. Marsha Cross from Desperate Housewives is 64 today. Brenda Strong, also from Desperate Housewives, Seinfeld, Supergirl. She was the voice on Desperate, the narrator on Desperate Housewives. She's 66 today. Mary Gross from Saturday Night Live is 73 today. And James Lovell, 98, astronaut, commander of Apollo 13 mission. He's 98 today. Tom Hanks played him in the movie. Other birthdays today include Big Sean. He's 38 today. Catherine McPhee Foster, 42. She was an American Idol contestant. You have Steve Norman from Spandau Ballet, saxophonist, 66 today. Elton John has a birthday today. Elton John is 79. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
No negotiations underway with the United States, but sources tell
me. I tell you what, we're going to get to your full ABC News headlines here in just a moment. That's coming up. But first, only thing on the docket today. Things pick up tomorrow. We get busy on the sports sides of things tomorrow. But today, a relatively important game for the Pistons. Not as important as the Wings contest last night, but still an important one for the Pistons at Little Caesars Arena as they host the Atlanta Hawks. We have that contest down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. That's going to be 6:35 broadcast time, 7 o'clock for the tip time on Fox Sports later on today. Of course, Major League Baseball, they start the season today, too. Tigers start tomorrow. Here's ABC News headlines.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Some ships may be able to get through the Strait of Hormuz soon. Iran now says it will allow what it calls non-hostile vessels through, as long as they coordinate with the Iranian authorities.
Iranian officials still insist there are no negotiations underway with the United States, but sources tell me the Trump administration has sent over a 15-point peace plan to Iran by way of Pakistan with hopes of ending this war.
But sources tell ABC News the U.S. is also sending more troops. At least 1,000 members of the 82nd Airborne have been ordered to the Middle East. Oil prices falling on hopes for an end to the war. The international standard Brent crude now under $100 a barrel. Meta, the company behind Facebook and Instagram, promising to appeal after a jury in New Mexico ruled it misled users about safety and put kids at risk. Meta ordered to pay $375 million. Two people arrested in London accused of torching ambulances owned by a Jewish group. This is ABC News.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 6:32, 20 minutes in front of 7 o'clock, and weather forecast today as we head to WKHM.com/weather. For today, we've got mostly cloudy skies today, 60 for the afternoon high. Wind gusts at times going to be over 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we've got cloudy skies on tap, 51 for the overnight low. And again, wind gusts going to be over 20 miles per hour. Now, during the early morning hours, we're looking at a 20% chance of showers. And then the rain looks like it's going to be with us for a good chunk of the day on Thursday. 70% chance of showers, maybe an afternoon thunderstorm. Still partly sunny on the day. 71 degrees are high for the afternoon. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms expected. Cloudy skies, overnight low of 27 degrees. Chance of precipitation, 70%. Friday, partly sunny, 41. Saturday, sunny, 47. Sunday, partly sunny, 58 degrees. Man, that feels like it's going to be a fabulous weekend. Outside right now, we are at 32 under cloudy skies. Would you believe we're going back to 1986? We had a record high on this date in 1986 of 73 degrees. Record low on this date in 1983 of 4. Now, normally, our average high is 49.4, average low 29.5 for this date. Sunrise at 7:32 this morning will peak at 1:43, sunset at 7:55. And that is a look at your weather forecast on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Hey, remember, coming up Friday is the deadline, our home improvement giveaway. We've been talking about this for a while now. Our home improvement giveaway is online at WKHM.com. When you get to our homepage, you're going to see a red bar across the top. Click on it and get signed up, because you could win a fabulous prize pack that's worth close to $1,000. Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat. That's a $200 value. You can win that from Brooklyn Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Charcoal grill, $200 value from Bailey Excavating. $100 voucher for Valspar primer or paint from Spring Arbor Lumber and Home Center. And a $150 home plumbing inspection and $200 off any plumbing service from Liberty Plumbing.
So you get signed up now, WKHM.com. Chance for you to win. All you got to do is sign up. That simple. Chance for you to win with our home improvement giveaway at WKHM.com. This is AM Jackson. We'll get to your sports courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center right after this.
Durable, capable, and packed with the latest features. The Kubota construction lineup featuring the SVL series, the number one selling compact track loader, is prepared to take on the job. Stop by today. Right now, bring home select Kubota compact track loaders with 0% financing available or save up to $5,200. Now through March 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
King's Equipment, Kubota of Jackson, 2524 Lansing Avenue. Online at KubotaKings.com.
J. Rozak Roofing and Home Improvement is not just a roof. It's a complete roofing system featuring Atlas products scheduled in weeks, installed in days, backed by a lifetime warranty, prompt, clean, professional service with over 30 years of experience. RozakRoofing.com. 517-764-5122. 517-764-5122.
For a one-of-a-kind Italian fine dining experience, it's Bella Notte Ristorante in downtown Jackson. Featuring delicious Italian food and pizza, unique and inexpensive wines, delicious cocktails, and daily specials. With the freshest seafood you can find. And with their well-lit parking lot and spacious atmosphere, it's the perfect venue for your upcoming party, wedding, or private event. Bella Notte Ristorante in downtown Jackson. See their menu online at BellaNotteRistorante.com.
Are you looking for a professional place to work? Think and Mortar is a shared office space in a beautifully restored historic building, offering private offices, designated desks, flexible lease terms, and reasonable rates. Learn more at thinkandmortar.com.
Does your printer or copier seem to be getting old and slowing down? Going through lots of supplies and wasting energy? It's time for a change. Upgrade to PrinterSource Plus, the sustainable solution. PrinterSource Plus, a locally owned office solution specializing in printers and copiers, is committed to reducing energy consumption and cutting waste with new cutting-edge equipment. Imagine saving on costs while helping the environment. In addition, PrinterSource Plus offers equipment discounts for churches, schools, government entities, and nonprofits. Visit PrinterSourcePlus.com today. Make your printing smarter and greener because every sheet counts.
Ethical, well-regulated hunting fuels conservation. Dallas Safari Club educates and advocates for sustainable hunting, safeguarding wildlife, habitats, and people from Texas to Tanzania. Learn more at biggame.org.
Best Friends Animal Society is working to ensure that every dog and cat has a safe place to call home. Visit bestfriends.org to adopt an out-of-this-world pet near you. Together, we will save them all.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Sports, this time around, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. So if you're listening to this right now, I know they're working hard, they're sweating hard as we speak at Kettlebell Hotspot this morning, Spring Arbor Road. And if you're listening to this right now, it's possible. It's possible. I don't know for sure. But it's possible that 6 a.m. class could fit into your schedule at Kettlebell Hotspot. The hardest part is going, is taking that first step to make it to the first couple, three classes, and then it's just a part of your routine. It's possible that could fit into your routine. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m., 8 a.m. Don't forget about that 4:30 afternoon class Monday, Wednesday. Saturday morning circuit at 9 o'clock. It's where your functional fitness begins. Strength, balance, mobility. So wherever you are in your physical fitness journey, they have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot, 7851 Spring Arbor Road, on Facebook and online at kettlebellhotspot.com. High school girls soccer. Let's start off in the Big 8, where today it's Springport going to be at Dansville. That contest set for 5:30 today. Cascades Conference Soccer. Yesterday it was Lumen topping Manchester 4-2 for that final. Northwest beat Columbia 1-0 in girls soccer yesterday. Leslie today will be hosting Stockbridge. That's a 5:30 kick time. And that one. Interstate 8 soccer yesterday, it was Penfield getting the 8-0 win over Bloomingdale. Already talked about Northwest on top of Columbia. Today in the I-8, Hastings at Ionia, 6:30. Western is at Sturgis, 6:30 for the kick time there. Elsewhere in girls' sports, or in high school sports, rather, let's go to baseball. Springport Baseball picked up a 3-1 win over Dansville, breaking things open with three runs in the fifth. Gibson over Wegg, dominant on the mound, struck out 13. Gavin Leitner had two runs he drove in for the Springport Baseball Spartans. Western got a win as they defeated Napoleon 16-0 yesterday. 13 runs in the fifth inning alone. Brody Parrott, four RBIs, struck out six in the win. Luke Harrington added three hits. Northwest beat Hanover Horton 14-0 yesterday. That was Avery Anspaugh, who put up a no-hitter, struck out five. Parker Ryan led the offense with four RBIs. On to softball from yesterday. Napoleon knocked off Western 5-3 in varsity softball. Pirates jumped out early in the first inning. Hayden Rendell drove in a run with a double. Caitlin Alt followed with a two-run homer to make it 13-0. Napoleon added another in the second on a sac fly from Jocelyn Gomez. Caitlin Fall went the distance in the circle, allowing three runs on four hits while striking out eight to earn the win. Napoleon racked up 10 hits. Haven Marker leading the way with three. Western got hits from four players and RBIs from Anna Ben, Boston Hoffius, and Lainey Sirek? Sirek? Napoleon back in action on April 7th at home against Jonesville. Hanover Horton, they got the win over Northwest yesterday in softball. 9-4. Amanda Lay fanning 11. Holly Zantop driving in three runs. In track, Western, both the boys and the girls, they defeated Northwest yesterday. And in lacrosse, it was Allen Park shutting out Jackson 7-0 yesterday in lacrosse. Today in high school sports, in baseball, Stockbridge at Jackson, that's at 4. Columbia Central at Airport, that's at 4. Concord at Homer at 5. Lumens at Hopkins at 5. Springport at Grass Lake at 4. And Marshall at Union City 4:30. For first pitch there. And in tennis, Western's at Hamilton at Albion College. That's a 3 o'clock serve time in that contest. Jackson College Jets baseball. This is like a football score, 21-18, as the Jets beat the Mid-Michigan College Lakers yesterday, 21-18. I would have to say the sixth was probably the biggest inning for the Jets. They put up six runs, but they also put up five runs in the fourth. They did have to come from behind a little bit. You look at the run tally per inning, the Jets were up 3-1 going into the third, and that's when the Lakers hung 10 runs on the Jets in the third. Both teams put up five runs each in the fourth. Not a whole lot of activity in the fifth. One run for the Lakers in the sixth, and the Jets exploded with another six. One run in the seventh, Jets exploded with another four. And that's where the scoring would end. 21-18 for the Jets yesterday. And on the mound, it was Colton Klein who got dinged up with that 10-run third inning. So he was pulled in the third. And then Dylan Berríos got the win, pitched four innings. He allowed five hits, two runs on the mound for the Jets. Also taking time on the mound, Jake Saunders, and wrapping up was Jake Hildebrandt for the Jets yesterday. So Jackson College Jets, they get the win. Next up for the baseball squad, as they will take to the mound at Macomb Community College at noon on Thursday. So just one tally there They tend to do a lot of doubleheaders, but they're on a streak of single games right now. Who had a doubleheader yesterday was the Jackson College softball team. They hosted Glen Oaks Community College, and they dropped both in a row yesterday against Glen Oaks. Game number one, 11-3, Jets fall. Game number two, 13-7, Jets fall. So that puts the Jets at 3-3 in the conference. They are 6-10 overall this softball season. Now let's go to Detroit Red Wings hockey. It was a disappointing night at the Little Caesars Arena yesterday as the Wings fell to the Ottawa Senators 3-2. Detroit got behind early, 3-0, midway through the second period with Ottawa goals from, Ottawa goals. And the Wings eventually made it interesting with a goal from Dominic Schein and also from Dylan Larkin. And they also had a few missed opportunities. Let's go to the first Wings miss with a 3-on-1 early in the contest.
Now Claude Giroux tapped it over to Shane Pinto as he bounces the backhand behind the Red Wing goal. Gibson stopped it, tied up a centering attempt, wide open net, but now it's intercepted. Here comes Finney out of the box. Appleton, 3-on-1 over the line. Shot taken, save made, Allmark. Rebound ends up into the corner.
Falk would also miss early in the first. And then, after the Wings are, or after Ottawa's up 3-0, Wings get on the board. This is in the second. Schein able to squeak one through.
Bumping after the puck behind the goal now. That is Van Riemsdyk working it back to the right point. Mo Sider quickly across. Edmondson with a feed tipped in front, and Schein scores. Big goal for Dominic Schein on the deflection. The Red Wings are on the board. Ottawa 3 and the Red Wings 1.
On to the third. Larkin gets a power play goal. Wings now trailing by 1.
Bumping after the puck behind. Still stick handles with it. Drops it now. Goal line for DeBrinket. Off the stick in front. Larkin scores. The captain, Dylan Larkin, got the rebound after Allmark made the save. Fires it in. And we got a game. Ottawa 3 and the Red Wings 2.
Yeah, we had a game. And like I mentioned, the Wings, no shortage of opportunities in the third.
In behind the goal skates David Perron. Bumped around the boards. Kopp picks it up. Sends it in front. Tipped in front by Van Riemsdyk. And that hit the crossbar. Inches away from tying it up, Van Riemsdyk.
Larkin, Kane, both had multiple opportunities.
Now Spence bumped along the boards. Going down is Dylan Larkin. Comes wide open in front. A chance by Kane. Allmark the save. Larkin with a chance. And Allmark makes the save. Oh, two great scoring chances with 8 seconds to go, and the Red Wings are stopped by Allmark.
They couldn't find the five hole. They could not light the lamp. Here's the final call.
From the draw, it stays in the circle. Kopp with a shot redirected wide. It goes into the corner. 2 seconds left. Kopp to the line. It came out to center, and this game is over. And the Ottawa Senators, who won in New York yesterday, skate off the ice 3-2 winners over the Red Wings tonight with the win and the 2 points. Ottawa moves to 85, and they move ahead of the Red Wings. So the Red Wings now trail not only the Ottawa Senators, but the New York Islanders in the playoff race as well.
Wings fell a spot further in the playoff picture with the loss as the Senators overtook them with 85 points at 84. Detroit now 2 spots out of the wild card behind the Senators and the Islanders, who also lost last night. Boston also lost to the Maple Leafs. However, the Blue Jackets won to improve to 87 points, as did the Canadiens to 88 points. They currently hold the last playoff spot in the Atlantic Division. Pittsburgh also lost last night. They have the last spot in the Metro Division. Wings will now head to Buffalo Friday to face the first-place Sabres, the Detroit Hockey Red Wings. Elsewhere, from the ice of the National Hockey League, it was the Blackhawks over the Islanders 4-3. Canadiens beat the Canes 5-2. Blue Jackets on top of the Flyers 3-2. Maple Leafs beat the Bruins 4-2. Avs on top of the Penguins 6-2. Panthers beat the Kraken in shootout fashion 5-4. And Lightning getting a win over the Wild 6-3. Predators beat the Sharks 6-3. Devils on top of the Stars 6-4. Jets getting a win over the Golden Knights 4-1, And Greg O'Connor's St. Louis Blues shutting out the Capitals 3-0 yesterday. Shootout win for the Flames. They beat the Kings 3-2. Oilers over the Mammoth 5-2. And the Mighty Ducks getting a win over the Canucks 5-3 for that final there. NBA yesterday, kind of an NBA light schedule as the Hornets topped the Kings 134-90. Knicks beat the Pelicans 121-116. Cavaliers getting a win over the Magic 136-131. And Connor Dockery's Denver basketball Nuggets on top of the Suns 125-123. Detroit basketball Pistons, they're back in action tonight against the Hawks. 6:35 for the broadcast, 7 o'clock tip time on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Detroit, 2.5-point favorites over the Hawks. Hawks are 19-16 when they're on the road. Pistons are 27-8 at Little Caesars Arena. Matchup predictor is leaning towards the Pistons, 62.5. I talk for a living. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Pistons on the matchup predictor, 62.5% chance of winning. All right, that's a look at your sports. I get it all in? Think I did. That's a look at your sports on Newstalk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
We make our way to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Jackson. How you doing today?
Man, so far, so good. Everything well in Daniel's world today?
All is well, man. All is well. Got to do a little traveling for work this morning, yeah. But all is well.
All right. Well, we are, as always, even when you're working, we do appreciate you taking the time to come on and join us and talk about some things that are happening with the city. And I kind of want to pick up, if you don't mind, where we left off from last week, because we were previewing the meeting this week and the part that stood out for you the most, and this is where I want to start today because I know it's important to you, is the Youth Council joined the City Council last night. So how did that go for the City Council, and how was just kind of give our listeners a snapshot of how that went last night?
So I thought it was really good. I mean, I think anytime we can get our youth council involved in the business of the city and how the city is being run and business that's being taken care of, the more they grow, and quite frankly, the more we grow as leaders of the community by being able to take the time to listen to those individuals who will one day be leading this community. And our youth council was able to attend last night. I spoke to a few of the members after the meeting and just wanted to ask them, hey, what stood out to you? You know, what did you find boring? Because I know some parts were just boring for them. Even though they really were like, look, this was great. This was great for us because it really showed us a little bit better on how to run our meetings and how our meetings should be run. Which is a great thing for me that they were able to take something away from what we took care of last night in our meeting and, you know, being present. The one thing that I wish would have been a little bit different, which I expressed to them last night, that, you know, one, this is definitely not going to be the last time, and I hope for the future that it would not be the last time for our future mayor to invite our youth council into a meeting. One thing that I wish we'd have had more time to do that I would plan for the next time is to actually build an agenda together so that they can actually drop the gavel, start their meeting. We drop the gavel and start our city council meeting and work through an agenda of items together with them so that they can be more interactive in the process itself and, you know, maybe ask questions if they've got questions about certain things that are on the agenda. But I thought overall it went very well. They were able to take some things away and give us some insight and let us know about an important event that they have going on April 11th. If you've got young people in the city of Jackson, they're going to want to come to the city center on April 11th for this open house that they are doing for the youth council. They're doing a summit for the youth in the city of Jackson on April 11th at 2 p.m. at the city center. And they were also able to share that information with the with the community last night during the meeting as we were wrapping up. And, you know, I'm super excited for the work that they're doing.
Does the city council, is it like a two-way street? Does the city council support the youth council also? Will there be attendees attending their meetings?
Absolutely. Mm. Anytime they send an invitation or they have things that they, you know, need to get over to city council or a council person or myself as mayor, they have an open door policy for any meetings that they host for us to be able to attend.
Gotcha. All right. A couple items that we had with our news that, if you don't mind, I'd like to have you follow up on. Let's start with Reverend Hines. 38 years at preaching to Jackson and supporting our community, and the recognition came down last night.
Yes, absolutely. So we were able to honor someone who just truly deserves it. I mean, I've given him the key to the city before. Mm. He has played such a pivotal role in just my life personally as a leader in this community, and the way that I've watched how he leads and his ability to really lean in and pastor anyone who he comes across, not just the individuals who are members of his church, but it was his 38th pastoral anniversary, and a part of that proclamation was also an honorary renaming of the street that his church is on, which is just so deserved for him. You know, he does so much for the community of Jackson. He's a connector, and he's a protector. He's just, you know, so many things to so many people. He pours into the youth, and really anyone who he comes across, he looks to be a friend and a mentor and provide any guidance that they might need. And so him and his wife are just such special people to this community. So it was really an honor to be able to honor him.
Okay. 100 homes, there were changes or additions, I guess, or however you want to appropriate label it, but to offer up $1,500 for realtors who bring anybody to the table who ends up being able to purchase a home through the 100 Homes Project. How did this come about?
Well, I think this came about just through conversation. I mean, the question from day one was, how are realtors or real estate agents? Let me be specific here, Mark, because a realtor is anyone who's been licensed to do real estate. But what one of the changes that we made to the motion last night was to be more specific that these need to be licensed real estate agents. And the difference is anybody can hold a or be licensed to be a realtor, but a real estate agent is a person who's actively in the industry under a company and actively selling real estate. So we made it specific to real estate agents. And so, you know, really that's kind of been a question from day one on how real estate agents can be involved in the process, can be involved in this. And really the dollars that we allocated to this, we worked really hard to design a program that would be specific to make sure those dollars are the most dollars we could possibly get out of the allocation of $2.5 million to go towards actual housing and the down payment assistance that we're providing. And so as we are on the back end of this, we decided to allocate additional dollars to down payment assistance because we want to make sure we finish this program strong. And one thing that we know is real estate agents in our community, they work really hard to help families find homes. And we want to also be a resource. But we recognize that if there's no skin in the game for them, there's really no incentive for them to point someone in the direction of the 100 Homes program because they're in the business to make money as well. And we know it's a much lighter lift for going through the process, even with a real estate agent. It's a much lighter lift with this program and the way it's designed. I mean, right now, Mike, we've already sold, we've assisted with 52 down payments, and 52 houses have been built and sold to citizens who are now homeowners through the developer that we're working with, which means we got 48 left to go. And we want to ensure that we get through that 48 homes. And we are trying to make it even more attractive and even more accessible and open. And so this is an opportunity for agents to receive a fee for the work that they do of bringing someone in who's approved and actually gets a 100 homes of $1,500.
Right. Well, from our previous conversations, it sounded like the application process was going really well. And it sounded like there was a kind of a waiting period, a lineup of potential home buyers there already through the city. It just sounded like that the numbers game was already kind of in the city's favor when it comes to the 100 homes project.
That's accurate.
Okay. That is it. So there's, I mean, we've got more people who would be qualified to purchase homes than we actually have homes left in the 100 homes project.
That's accurate.
Okay. All right. And do we have to have contracts with those who are signed up for the 100 homes, for the remaining homes? Do we have to have those contracts signed up by a certain point by the end of the, before the end of the year or sometime between now and December?
So any ARPA dollars that any community or municipality or county has that are ARPA dollars have to be spent, by the end of this year.
Okay.
So it's not just this program, it's all ARPA dollars in general. And I think so what we're trying to do is just make sure that we get to the end of that. And just like with any other process, and I'm sure you understand that the process of home buying and
yes.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you told me you have a real estate license.
Yes. Yep, I do.
And so you know that sometimes you get to the end of the road and you figure out this isn't the path for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested anymore. Something happens, something changes, and people go a different direction. So while we have a very, very strong pipeline of applicants don't always turn into someone being inside of a home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just the natural way that things work.
Right.
And so we do have a very strong pipeline of individuals who have applied. But it is not too late for individuals who are out there who are interested
in
100 homes to start the process. And if you've got a real estate agent that you're working with, we don't want you to be discouraged, and we don't want your real estate agent to discourage you from using this program as a way to get into a home. Not just get into a home, but get into a home with up to $50,000 in down payment assistance, which means you walk into that home on day one with equity in that home.
Is it solely based on if you have a qualified buyer at who's expressed interest and has gone through the process so far? Is it based solely on first come, first serve, or if you have a qualified buyer that comes into this a little bit later on and they have, for any one of a number of reasons, are positioned a little bit better than somebody who previously has been accepted into the program? Is there an opportunity to leapfrog, or is it still at this point first come, first serve basis?
Well, I think the process and the application as individuals are ready in the process. And so I wouldn't call it leapfrogging because that sounds like we put someone before someone else. But I would say it is absolutely, it's almost like playing ready golf. It's not really I went before you, I went when I was ready and someone else wasn't ready.
Okay.
And so there's still more room for individuals to get into the program, still more room for individuals to get through the program and get a house.
Gotcha. Okay. Talk about the master plan for the city, if you don't mind, Mayor. We were able to receive the press release from that yesterday, and it sounds like there's... Wait, it feels like we just did this with the chamber. County's kind of doing it. Now the city's kind of doing it. It sounds like we've got a lot of master plans going on in Jackson, Mayor.
Yeah, I see that as a positive thing, Mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jackson is, we are all one Jackson. Whether it's the county of Jackson, whether it's the city of Jackson, or the Jackson County Chamber, we are all one Jackson. And so I think the fact that we have these master plans being developed in and around the same time is actually good for Jackson in general. And so we are developing the master plan for the city of Jackson at this time. And for those who don't know, master plan is a roadmap that helps you get to the next 10 to 20 years of where you want your community to be at. And so you put everything that you want to become inside of this master plan, and then this is the roadmap that gets you to that point of where you would like to be at. And so what happens through that process is you take a look at what was talked about in the previous master plan, what was accomplished, what wasn't accomplished, what things are still applicable that we would like to accomplish, should they move forward into the next master plan. Where are we right now today as a city? What do we want to become and where do we want to be 10 to 20 years from now as a city? We know we have a big birthday coming up, 250 years. And so what does the next 10 to 20 years look like in this city? And how do we get there? Which is going to take the voices of our citizens. That's kind of the most important thing that we're putting out there, is that we really need that citizen input so we can make sure that we have a well-rounded plan, a well-thought-out plan, and a robust plan that includes all the things that we know we would like to become over the next 10 to 20 years.
Well, and you said it just at the start of your comments, how we're all one Jackson, whether it's the county, the chamber, or the city. So is there going to be an effort to kind of have a little bit of overlap, maybe some coordination with some of the, whether it's Drive Jackson, the county's master plan and the city's master plan? Is there going to be an opportunity to have all three work together on this?
So I'm sure there'll be individuals who help work on the city of Jackson master plan from across a very broad spectrum of individuals from around our community, for sure. As far as direct collaboration of the three master plans that are being developed, that I'm not sure about.
All right, very good. Anything left untouched here, Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney, that we should be talking about this morning?
No, I just hope everybody had a great day, a great week. I'm hoping that we continue to get some warmer days as the days progress. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to going outside and playing some golf at some point, hopefully sooner than later.
You're going to need to walk that dog, too. I mean, that's...
Oh, man. He gets out and just runs. He thoroughly enjoyed the wintertime.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed the wintertime, which was a surprise. Because, a lot of times puppies... the only thing he didn't enjoy was when it wasn't time to actually go out and play, or when it was time to go out and take care of business, and it was in the very, very low temperatures.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't like that very much. But aside from that, he's already enjoying the weather change. It's just amazing to see a puppy notice, wait a minute, what is all this white stuff on the ground? And then go back to saying, okay, wait a minute, where did it all go?
Right. So do you walk the dog or does the dog walk you?
No, he's in training mode right now. We are on a strict schedule, so I do all the walking. Sometimes I got to carry him because he's like, I'm done.
Right. Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Had enough.
Well, it's good that he's in the training stages. That's important. That's important. All right. Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney, as always, we appreciate the opportunity, and we look forward to our conversation next week.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a good day. Mark, have a good day, Jackson.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
It's 8:32 here at AM Jackson, News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. My name is Mark Daly, and we welcome from Vista Grand Villa Christie. I just changed your name on you. Chelsea Isley, good morning and welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing well up until a second ago. I was doing great. No, welcome. And things are changing a little bit at Vista Grand Villa.
We only do good changes.
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, all right. So we were talking a little bit about this off the air. Whenever change comes, people are always, but there's always so much good.
Yes.
There's always so much good.
Change is tough.
Change is tough, But I mean, there's a reason for the change a lot of times, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes, we talk a lot about change. People mm-hmm. generally don't love change because mm-hmm. it brings uncertainty, right? So that's why we're here. We're talking.
Yeah. The frustration of changing the letterhead is probably the biggest thing.
It might not be my biggest thing, but it does stress some people out. Right. So we'll talk with the marketing team about that. But yeah, I mean, right? We have logos everywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I know I was joking. I have so much logo wear. I love, you know, having, you know, sweatshirts and jackets and, you know, I love all the things to wear, you know, wear our branding, and now I'm going to have nothing to wear. But yeah, so we have just announced an affiliation with Otterbein Senior Life. And so just wanted to come talk a little bit about that and answer some questions, debunk some rumors, you know, and talk about what great this, you know, what this going to bring to Jackson.
So what first let's talk about what brought about this partnership with Otterbein.
Otterbein.
Uh-huh. What?
So, and I guess a little bit also about Otterbein. So, Otterbein is based out of Ohio. We've talked through that as, you know, as a Michigan kind of gal. We had to get through some things. But we got through it. They have some staff that are big Michigan fans, so we'll allow it.
Okay.
But a beautiful, amazing organization. They're a nonprofit organization down in Ohio with a big footprint there. They've stretched into Indiana, and then we will now be their new flagship in Michigan with, you know, hopes to grow in the future. So, you know, our board has gone through a really rigorous process over really a handful of years talking about, you know, what the future of Vista looks like, what the Jackson community needs, what's best for our residents and for our staff. And the answer is that, you know, although we've been a standalone facility for 54 years and have done remarkably well,
for sure.
You know, there is a time that you kind of plateau and you say, listen, in order for us to take that next step, in order for us to continue to be strategic and be able to serve more residents at a higher level, we need to bring in some partners. We need to have, you know, lock arms with somebody. And so, you know, we were able to step into that slowly and do you know, some hard work and due diligence and finding the right partner, and Otterbein was a really natural fit. So, you know, nonprofit, just like us, very mission aligned, really genuine people, you know, within Otterbein. And so we just started that conversation and it went incredibly smooth and are just really excited for this.
Okay. So I guess on the surface then, what are some of the benefits? How is Vista Grand Villa, or what's it going to be called here?
So there is a name change.
Yeah.
It is, we will now be Otterbein Jackson.
Okay.
And so you will start seeing that, you know, and that's, you know, something that will be a slow transition over time in terms of, you know, the signage and all the things for that happen with that. But, you know,
and the swag.
And the swag, right? Yeah. And we'll have to drop some off. But in, you know, in talking with them, it was really apparent that it was important for them. And, you know, we had a lot of people that felt like, well, the Vista Heritage, this is a mistake. And so we had to, you know, talk through with them to say, okay, help me understand, you know, why we can't stay Vista and what that looks like. And they just had an incredible answer. And they said, listen, we work in 100-year increments. We aren't going anywhere. We want to make sure that your Jackson community knows that that we are here to stay, that we are going to invest in not only the kind of the Vista community, but the greater Jackson community. And that, you know, the way that we operate as Otterbein is the way that we're going to operate in Jackson, which is just with a lot of grace and investment. And so they... you know, they felt like it was their heritage. Heritage is important. They've been around for 114 years. Mm-hmm. You know, so they feel the same way we do about the importance of their name. And so, you know, we are changing our name, and you know, it's going to take some getting used to for all of us, because I joke that we're going to answer the phone incorrectly, but which I'm sure we will.
Well, you're going to be called Vista forever.
I know.
You know you are.
It's like Pacific Plaza. That's
exactly
what people say. Yeah. They say, it's, you know, well, Pacific Plaza is Pacific Plaza. And, you know, and Henry Ford is Mercy or Foot or, you know, I mean, it just, it's no different. And so this is just our step into the future of being able to provide greater benefits for our staff and the Jackson community.
So service will change a little bit, or?
No, I mean, you know, the leadership team stays. Our staff stay. We're all still going to be there. Our local board is intact. We're still making decisions locally.
Okay.
So that's really important for people to know, because I think sometimes they think that, you know, Big Brother's coming in and they're going to make all of these changes. And so, no, I mean, everything on April 1, it's business as usual.
Okay.
And so... But it will provide us, you know, the opportunity to evaluate how we're doing things. You know, what we know is going to change, you know, we're going to have some policy changes. We're going to align with the organization in that regard. But in terms of services providing, immediately, absolutely not. What we are going to do is say, you know, where aren't we meeting the needs of the people? Where aren't we meeting the Jackson community? And let's build a system to be able to provide that resource. Gotcha. You know, I know we're going to expand our offerings within Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And so, you know, we already know that those are a couple things that we're going to bring to the community. So it's really not, it will not be anything that's being taken away. It will only be infusion.
And those things will be a direct result of this, of the name change and becoming a part of Otterbein.
Yes, it'll be a direct result of becoming a part of Otterbein. Their programs they already have in place within other communities that they have. And so we will be able to be a part of that as well. Yeah.
And you went over it, you talked about it, but I feel like it's important just to kind of touch on it again and maybe expand on it a little bit. Board's not changing, staff's not changing. A lot of what you do is, or pretty much everything that you currently are doing is staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So we, and that is really the message to get out is Vista is Vista. It's business as usual. We are not changing. You know, if you love me, that's great. If you hate me, I'm really sorry, but we're here to stay. So, you know, we will still be making the decisions locally. We will still be, you know, taking care of people locally. Our team now has resources that will be able to add extra training and extra education and, you know, some educational scholarship opportunities that they'll have access to. You know, we still partner with, you know, locally with JobStar. We will still be providing JobStar resources for staff, which is an incredible resource for people. And our residents will still be cared for by the people that have been caring for them from day one. And so that will not change.
Okay. So more stays the same than what's going to be changing.
Absolutely.
Is what it sounds like.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
When it comes to Vista Grand Villa, let's kind of talk about the services that are provided again at Vista, because you have rehab care, you have independent living, you've got a wide variety.
Yes, we have a full life plan community. So we offer independent living, which has both apartments and condo style living. So that, you know, we associate that kind of with, you know, a senior community. So like a, you know, a 55 plus community. So you've got your own place. The beauty of being able to do that at Vista is that we have resources that we're able to infuse. So if you need, you know, maybe mom and dad are having issues with medication, you know, we can either set up their medications on a weekly basis. We can actually administer their daily medications in independent living still. They have access to all three of our restaurants on site that are, you know, table service. You order from a menu. You know, there's no, you have to eat this, you have to eat that. You can sit where you want. We've heard those rumors before. We are very much like walking into any other restaurant in town. And so, you know, that's kind of what independent living looks like. And then we have assisted living. So kind of that next level of care, which, you know, mom and dad might need, you know, assistance, you know, kind of daily living things. So they may need assistance getting dressed in the morning or assistance, you know, navigating to and from, you know, the dining room or the restaurant that they'd like to go to. They have very structured entertainment options and activities during the day that they have access to. And so it's just more supportive 24/7 care. And then we have our nursing, and then nursing, which is, you know, often skilled, you know, post-hospital stay, post-surgical stay, things like that. And then also people that really need nursing 24/7 are also long-term. You have the option to stay there. And then we have memory care, our secure memory care neighborhood, which is just a beautiful place for that's an indoor-outdoor space that residents can live in a safe environment, but with a lot of supportive care for those that are suffering with Alzheimer's dementia.
Right. I've seen those conversations happen, been a part of those conversations mm-hmm. that happen when you have a loved one that who needs the help.
Yeah.
They need the help, but there's the dynamics in the family are saying, we don't want mom to move out of her home. She's comfortable here. She's been here forever. But at the same time, they need help.
Yeah.
And it causes so much stress on the family to provide that kind of help at home.
And we see it every day.
How do you have that conversation?
So I always say we can either help you script that conversation if you're kind of, there's always one point person in the family, right? You know, there's always that one. We can either help you script that conversation and have that conversation with siblings mm-hmm. or, you know, family members, or we can have it. You know, we're more than happy to come into your home and have that conversation with families as well. And it's a tough conversation because oftentimes people would like to stay home. They would like to stay in their home, but the important thing is experiencing what Vista has to offer, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the safety and security of 24/7 care. So again, we also have our residents have the option of wearing what we call a pendant, which is a 24/7 emergency service. So they can press their pendant, which is on a lanyard or a necklace.
Right.
They also have push stations in their apartments and in their homes for emergency services. We have staff on site 24/7 that respond to that. So instead of, you know, maybe a life alert that goes to a family member or a call center or, you know, and it could take, you know, a really long time. We have people there within, you know, maybe a couple of minutes, a few minutes.
Yeah.
So heaven forbid mom falls or needs something mm-hmm. in the middle of the night, you know, or has an accident, we're able to respond immediately. And that for people is the number one thing I like to talk about because that's everyone's biggest fear, right? Is everyone, you know, is something happening, you know, and they're not there or they, you know, they need some help. So that number one, then the social aspect was the second thing that, you know, I like to talk about. So oftentimes when mom is or dad is in home, they've become pretty socially secluded because mm-hmm. They either don't drive or it's not safe for them to drive or they don't like driving too early or too late or on the highway or on this or my grandpa only took right turns, you know, I'm there. So took a long time to get places. So, you know, we have a packed calendar every single day.
Right.
And so you don't have to be involved in everything, but man, you can be involved in whatever you want. And, you know, we will give you things to do, whether it's live entertainment. We have tons of musicians that come in and do live entertainment. We have several church services of many denominations that happen throughout the week. We have committees that meet that get to make, you know, decisions mm-hmm. about, you know, the resident committees. You know, we've got plant and activities and a library committee and, you know, a gardening mm-hmm. committee, you name it, you can be involved in all of that. I mean, of course, we have bingo because you got to have bingo, right?
No, right.
I know. It seems like, you know, bingo. Yeah. But I'll tell you, you cancel bingo in a week, people, it's an uproar.
Okay.
Like,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a thing.
Wow. I'm not to that age yet, but I know it's coming.
I'll be honest. Yeah. Bingo is pretty fun.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
all right.
So, we have that.
Do you have like little trolls
parties?
That come out? The little,
oh, people you, that, yeah. No, we haven't done like a wild glow bingo or anything yet, but.
but you I got do. Your little lucky
oh,
things.
Oh, like your lucky just, things.
Yeah, and your blotters and.
People definitely have like their lucky cards
okay.
and some bring their own little, I don't know, coins or whatever they put on the cards and things like that. I haven't seen trolls. I'll have to check into that.
The lucky trolls?
It may be all more, right. You know, the mini Jesuses, like the little rubber.
Yeah. I'm
so
aware.
I've seen a few of those.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are out. So,
Jesus,
you know,
is going to help you win bingo.
I think so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I joke. I'm like, don't spend all your money in one place, everyone. So we just had a really fun St. Patrick's Day party, you know, green beer all around.
Yeah.
Live entertainment there.
See, that's another, I want to touch on this. I want to touch on this because you walk into some of the other places and it feels like you're kind of walking into a hospital.
Oh, no.
When you walk into Vista, you've got that new facility, the new little area to hang out.
Yes, right off to the right.
Yeah. And it feels so welcoming as soon as you walk through that main entrance. It really does.
I will say, if you've never been in Vista, just to come in and just walk around for a minute. You will feel what Vista is about. Mm-hmm. And that's actually probably the most common thing I hear is you feel the difference. People are so nice. Everyone says hi. Everyone is welcoming and they want to know, you know, do you need help getting somewhere? Do you need, you know, oh, welcome. You know, they will stop people and say, oh, are you looking for mom? A resident will stop somebody. Oh, I just love living here. I mean, it is tangible. Yeah. You can feel it. And so I'm just so proud to be a part of it. And it is not infused. It is just the way it is there. Right. And people just love it. You know, the staff love, our staff and our residents are just, you know, it's like best friends. They, you know, we hear all the time, oh, you know, Josie's daughter has a, you know, a band concert tonight. And, you know, so, and just so... You know, the way that the relationships that are built and the life that can be provided there is just something special. And I'm just really proud to be a part of it.
And everything is staying the same, just a new name.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So aside from, you know, we do plan to do additional capital infusions. We plan to make, you know, the place even better. And so, you know, those things will come as, you know, after, you know, April 1, when we can start planning some of those things, you're going to see more happening. And so you'll see exciting things coming, but we're here to stay.
Yeah.
And the people are there and we're still ready to serve in any way.
We talked a little bit about it off the air. Can I ask you about Olympics?
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
I found that so intriguing. What the heck is, you're going to be a part of?
We will be a part of the Otterbein Olympics.
Okay, what,
And
what is that?
My residents know how competitive I am, so, you know, no pressure to them, but we're year one, is we're making a splash. So Otterbein every year has their own Olympics. So they have, including Vista, we will have 14 other very like communities within within Otterbein's family. And so we will all get together in October and compete for Olympic trophies and Olympic medals.
What are the sports? What are the events?
So, for example, we have a volleyball, a chair volleyball. We have a pickleball tournament. We have, I know that they've had some kind of safe racing.
Okay.
I know. As a nurse, I hold my breath every time. But there's also... Okay. They make it so that there are events for every ability. So actually, we talked about this at Vista, and one of my residents said, "You know, I use a walker, I use a cane, and I want to be able to." There is something. Events for everybody. They also have a chef competition, so all of their executive chefs come together. And there's a food competition too.
Now, because I've had your food there. You guys have great food.
We have amazing food.
At Vista. So.
I eat there every day. So I can attest to it. And so we are, we're going to be tough to beat.
Have you sampled the competition at all during the whole process here?
I've got to go down and do that. So,
But you visited some of the other locations, right?
Yeah.
How do they stack up to what Vista has now?
I will say, so... We are, they're all a bit different, to be honest. So that's another nice thing with Otterbein is they say we aren't cookie cutter. We only make decisions that make sense for the community. So, you know, it's important. That was one of my first questions too is, you know, are we just going to like shove a square peg into a round hole? And the answer is no, because what makes sense at one community doesn't necessarily make sense at our community. And they are totally comfortable with that. So they have some absolutely beautiful communities. You know, St. Mary's is set on a lake with some inlet and, you know, there's pontoon boats and it's just absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
and
nice.
So, you know, there's several other communities that look different but provide a very equal offering that we do in terms of quality and service.
Okay.
And so we really look forward to working closer with those partners and sharing best practices and being able to bring some more things.
If family moves from like one area to another, how difficult would it be for, say, for example, if somebody living at Vista right now, but then they have family who moves to Ohio, would it be, are we talking about being able to easily transition from one place to another?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we talk about that with staff too.
Yeah.
So both residents and staff, you know, you'll have access to all of our communities. And so, you know, now that it's almost like calling a friend. To say, hey, you know, I'm moving down to, you know, this area. Maybe I'm moving down to Lebanon, Ohio or Columbus. And just saying,
not
you know,
Columbus. I know. Anywhere but Columbus. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I know. I'm trying. I have to bite my tongue now because I think they're just like really sick of it. But, you know, I mean, we're proud Michiganders up here.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm like, we're going to have to talk about some colors and what we will.
It'll be fun around football time.
Oh, it's it's going to be something. I'll tell you that. And again, I repeat, I am highly competitive, it's going to be something. But yeah, no, natural transitions, you know, we'll work really closely with our partners. And, you know, our goal always is to make sure that people end up in a place that makes sense for them. And it isn't always Vista, and that's okay. So, you know, our goal is just to provide great services to aging adults in Jackson, to their families, and just to be a resource for people.
Chelsea Isley in the studio with us today from Vista. Anything left untouched, Chelsea, that we should have talked about that I didn't get to with you?
I don't think so. All but, you know, the important stuff is just we are Vista. It's still going to be us. Our board stays intact. We're still a nonprofit and we're just going to grow and be better.
Is there going to be some sort of ceremony on the first?
So not on the first.
Okay.
So business as usual on the first, but we're going to plan something this summer to bring in the community and have a lot of fun.
Well, we're looking forward to being there for that.
Awesome.
It's
going to
be fun. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:35, 25 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock, and it's a pleasure to have back in the studio today Lydia Sattler from the Jackson County Animal Shelter. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Now, you brought a buddy with you.
I did.
And now, who'd you bring in the studio with you today?
So, this is Monster.
Monster.
Yeah.
Anything but.
It was not intentional. She didn't have a name, so I kept saying, come here, you little monster.
Okay.
And now it just kind of stuck, and she knows the name.
That's how we you know, the cat that instantly came into the portal, right? And that's what we called it. It just poofed into the portal. We went back and forth. I wanted to call it Pumpkin, and my wife wanted to call it something else, but we just kept calling it Little Baby because it's just tiny, so small.
Yeah.
So it kind of just stuck.
Right.
So it's just a little baby kitty. That's what it is. We're so creative with our names.
Yeah, that's how it happens. Yeah.
But this one doesn't look like a monster at all.
Not right now.
Not right now. Not just wait, right?
Yeah, yeah. She has her witching moments.
Okay.
Witching hours. But she's a good girl.
All right. Is Monster like a mix of a variety of things, or what is Monster?
She's like a healer, maybe some Aussie in there.
Okay. Love the ears.
Yeah,
so
adorable.
Cute.
I know.
How old is Monster?
She's about 10 weeks.
Okay.
So, but she's a good girl.
Yeah.
She's considering whether she wants to be a therapy dog and a shelter mascot.
So she's going through the process, weighing the pros and cons,
yeah,
right?
She's considering it.
Okay. Well, she gets to come to work with Mom on the regular if she does that, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, since you brought it up, let's start there. That's one of the things that the animal shelter does and does consistently is enrichment and therapy at a variety of different locations all across the county.
Absolutely. So that's something if you consider people like maybe they're in a care home and they grew up with pets and now they can't have them where they live. So our volunteers and will bring usually adoptable pets that we have. Yeah. Or if we don't have anyone that's suitable to go, you know, we have some tried and true dogs that we can still send to pet therapy.
Yeah.
So that would be something that Monster could do if she decides to, that's her future.
Right.
But
requirement is she has to like treats.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's not tough. So, but, you know, these people get so excited
and we
love seeing the joy in their faces when they get to pet the kitten or hold a puppy or just pet a dog or have a dog sit next to him on the couch again.
Yeah.
It brings just extreme amount of joy to all of us that get to witness that.
All right. One of the things I want to talk to you about, because we've talked with different leaders here in the Jackson community with the reaction to Reed Manor. We haven't talked about Reed Manor here in a while, but apparently there was an animal shelter. There was a relationship there. There was a reaction there that happened with Reed Manor disaster. Explain for our listener what happened.
Yeah. So the morning after the Reed Manor fire, someone from the Red Cross reached out to me.
Okay.
They texted me on my cell phone and had asked if we could help them with some supplies because they had some residents that were displaced staying at the temporary shelter that the Red Cross had established for them, but they didn't have any supplies for their pets. So that very morning, within the hour, we gathered up crates, food, litter, bowls, dishes, blank, all the things that they would need. And Animal Control delivered all of the supplies that they would need over to them.
Right.
So I was really happy that they were able to, you know, quickly get my phone number, reach out, and we were able to respond, you know, right away to help them out. Currently, they're moving some residents into hotels.
Okay.
And one still does not have a place for her pet. So they reached out again to ask if we could help them with housing for this pet until she could get permanent placement.
Okay.
And so the little dog came to us yesterday, and we're going to hold on to her and hope that we can reunite them as quickly as possible when she gets into a permanent place. So we are currently looking for a foster for her. It's just a small 10-pound long-haired chihuahua.
Okay.
So really, someone's got room
people
for
love
that.
People love the littles.
Yes.
Yeah. They love the littles.
We thought, you know, since we don't know exactly how long she'll be with us, I thought she would be a lot more comfortable in a home versus at the shelter.
Okay. How is the foster situation with the shelter right now? You got a lot of animals in foster. Are you still looking for fosters to help?
We are always looking for fosters because there's always so many needs. Like, we received a mom dog with 9 puppies yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Mothers coming in with kittens that are too young to be in shelter or adopted. It's that time of year.
Oh, it's cat season.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So definitely.
Come out of nowhere.
They do.
I'm aware.
Yes. All probably have PTSD from kitten season.
Oh, man.
Yes.
They're so, but yeah, we talk about taking the dogs out, but they love it when you take the kittens out to a variety of different homes, too. If you've got kittens that are good, clean, and healthy, they love the kittens, too.
And the kitten fishing.
The kitten fishing. That's right, the kitten fishing.
Yeah.
For our listeners, that's when you take the cat toy that's on a stick, you know, the little wand, and we had a little playpen for the kittens to play in so they wouldn't scurry off and run. And so you have the little wand that you're playing, and it looked like you're fishing for kittens. So it's cat fishing. Yeah. All right. Our listeners could have that mental image. So they
probably good you clarified.
Yeah, right. I know, right? So, all right, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Yeah, it's kitten season at the shelter, so looking for fosters.
Always, always welcome new fosters.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a try. If it's not for you, great. If you like it, do like it, you're going to be hooked and want to keep doing it.
Well, I don't want to say it's easy because there is work. Mm-hmm. The animal shelter does cover all the back end stuff for it, so but you have to help and maintain the mom and kittens at home. But that's if you're interested, that's really a great way to start because mama kitten does most of the work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, this is a way you can, maybe if you're deciding, do we want another pet or not, you can have a new pet every other week if you want to and then send it back. So it's not a permanent thing.
Right. Well, eventually you'll find that one.
Oh, and
we call them foster failures.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done that. I've done that.
Yeah.
It's like you remember Dust Bunny. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's talk about some of the things coming up. Okay. I see on my notes here, I have Dogs Playing for Life Free Seminar. What is that?
Yes. So Dogs Playing for Life is an organization, and they work with shelters all across the country and helping establish play groups for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
When dogs are in a shelter, you know, they're very social animals and, you know, being in a cage singly and alone is just detrimental to their overall health. So we believe really big in play groups at Jackson County Animal Shelter. And we want to, you know, bump up our game, so to speak, and have these, the professionals that do this, you know, all around the country come in and provide us with a 3-day training.
Okay.
We'll have a PowerPoint presentation and then hands-on working with getting all your dogs into play groups.
Okay.
On a daily and consistent basis. So we're working with our staff, our volunteers. We have 25 other people from different agencies across the state attending as well. And it's, you know, I think it's going to be just a huge advantage for our staff to have that training and to be able to implement that program.
Volunteers be able to be part of that training too?
They will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. One of the goals here for us at McKibben Media Group is to put cameras in the studios so have full-on podcast capabilities. And you noticed that Lydia and I were laughing while you were giving that response, and I credit you for keeping your train of thought while Monster was playing tug-of-war with your jacket. I wish I had the cameras in here now so our listeners could have enjoyed that too. So
yeah,
it looks like Monster's winning.
She's definitely, she's almost there. I didn't, her toys in the car. I probably would have been a good mom. I would have brought it in.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Potential
she's,
mom.
She's fine. Clear. Potential.
Potential mom.
Mm-hmm. Right. The interview process is continuing. Yeah. There's stuff that needs to happen. All right.
Who wouldn't want a jacket with one sleeve with a chew marks on it? That's stylish.
That's the life you chose, Lydia.
It is. All right. It's the life I live.
Tell me about the ribbon cutting coming up in May. What's that about?
So we're so excited about this. Mm-hmm. So you know, we recently purchased a parcel of land next to the shelter, and we have been making improvements to that land. It was just bare land, all grown over. We cleared it. We're getting a fence put up in that spot. AeroQuip Credit Union donated a gazebo for that space. Mm-hmm. So in conjunction with AeroQuip, we're going to do a ribbon cutting for Duke's Place. And Duke's Place will be a very large area for our dogs to be able to walk with a volunteer or a staff member off leash. So they can have, and there's a lot of deer out there, rabbits, you know, lots of smells for them to check out.
Of course,
yeah. So it'll give them a lot of enrichment and have them more like a, how would they be treated if they were in a home?
Okay. So there was a walking trail back there, but still. So this is kind of added to that?
It's, yeah.
Okay.
So the walking trail is on leash. So Duke's Place will be, so the Jackson's Trail, you walk on leash.
Okay.
And then Duke's Place, the volunteers can sit in the gazebo while the dog just...
Just runs.
Just goes crazy, checks things out, smells around with everything. So it'll be kind of two different ways that they can be enriched, on leash or off leash.
Okay. All right. And there's also going to be an event that kind of accompanies that, right?
Yes.
Tell us
yes.
about that.
So on the same day, May 1st, the ribbon cutting will be at noon. Mm-hmm. We're also having an artisan and fleas event market. So you will have artists, like local artists, anyone that has a craft, flea market type items, so food vendors. So there'll be a lot of just a huge variety of people on site in the parking lot selling their wares.
Okay.
And, you know, we're having an open house to check out the shelter. So the artisan and fleas market will be Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
The ribbon cutting is Friday at noon.
Okay. Well, that sounds fun.
It's going to be a blast.
Like it's a lot of fun. So a lot of things happening with the shelter. And there's also the microchip scanning. Is that still going on? Or?
Yes. Okay. So we've been working on getting the signs made for that.
Uh-huh.
But that will be a public microchip scanning station. So if you find a pet and... shelter's not open, your vet's not open, you want to try to reunite quickly with its owner, you will just simply, you can stop by the shelter. It'll be outside. We have the scanner right there for you.
Okay.
You can scan, and it has directions on how to locate the owner if the pet is chipped.
Okay.
So the pet can bypass coming in the shelter altogether, and you can hopefully get the animal reunited.
Gotcha.
So,
well, because the sooner you can get it home, the better. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want to encourage people to get your pets microchipped. We also do free clinics pretty frequently, and I'll let you know when the next one is coming up.
Yeah, please do, because that's vitally important.
Yeah.
With this being kitten season, let's kind of go back and revisit that. With this being kitten season, if someone finds a kitten or a cat or a mom-to-be or a mom with litters, what should they do? Do they instantly call the shelter, or what's the first thing they should do?
The first thing we ask people to do is, a lot of times cats are probably pretty close to home. They don't travel too far usually. They stay in one area. So we ask people to post on social media, check with their neighbors, see if you can find where this cat belongs, because statistically, once a cat enters a shelter, the return to owner rate is very low,
okay,
unless they're microchipped, of course.
Right.
So we do ask people to try to wait out that stray hold 4-day period to see if we can reunite the pet before bringing it into the shelter.
Okay.
But if it's something that's critical or, you know, injured, of course, bring it in. We want to help.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's healthy and it looks like someone's been taking care of it, let's try to reunite it with its owner before entering it to the shelter.
Okay.
And if you find like a litter of newborn kittens, we do ask that you, and you say, oh, the mom left them. Give mom a chance. She's got to go out
right,
and eat and hunt and find food. So let's give mom a chance, because the best chance for survival for newborns is with their actual mom.
Absolutely, for sure. What's the population like at the shelter right now? Are we full? Is there room? What's going on?
We have a lot of dogs.
Okay.
But that's a good thing right now, because playing for life, we need like about 25
okay,
or so dogs to make the playgroup demonstration successful.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we're pretty full. Mm-hmm. But once we get past the seminar on Monday, we will be doing a lot of promotions to find dogs and, find their right match and get them adopted.
No, we can't count Monster, because Monster's going through the interview process right now. But
yes,
what's one for you that stands out that you're just kind of like, because there's always that one that comes through that stays at the shelter a little bit longer than everybody thought. What's the one?
I can tell you. I don't even have to think about it. Mako. Mako's a dog. He's a border collie.
Okay.
He's about 1 year old, and he smiles. But he looks, okay, he literally looks like a great white shark when he smiles.
There was that poodle that smiled a few years back.
You remember
that? Yeah, I do.
So, but when you look at him, you think, oh my gosh, he's going to eat my face off. But he's literally just smiling.
Right.
So, and he's, mm-hmm, I mean, he's a great dog.
Right.
So I think he's going to be a gem. Someone comes in to meet him, and he's just got a great personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very special.
All right. Volunteer opportunities. Obviously, the dog walking, cat enrichment. But, there's a lot of things that need to be done at the shelter, right?
There's so many things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's some people just like, I like doing laundry. I'm going to come and sit and do laundry.
Because you don't get enough at home.
Right. Some people like doing dishes. But, we like everyone to do what they're passionate about. If you just want to come in and cat cuddle, come on in.
For sure.
If you want to walk dogs, walk the dogs. If you want to work on enrichment for the animals, mm-hmm, both cats and dogs, great. If you want to answer phones, okay, come on in.
Okay.
So we'll find whatever you're passionate about and you feel like you got a good skill set, we want you.
What's that process like? Can people just walk in? Is there, they have to fill out a form? What's that process like?
Yeah, so they fill out an application. Mm-hmm. They can do it online or come in and get a form at the desk. Okay. And once we get the application, we give it to our volunteer and event manager, Lisa Klink, and she'll go through them, call them up, let them know when orientation is, and we can set them up with a mentor, like, this is where everything is, this is how we do things.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah, so it's a very simple process, and, we're very welcoming.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of nice. So.
What's the website so people can go online and just learn a little bit more?
Just go to Michigan, Google Jackson County Animals.
Google search
that.
Will get you there.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No,
again, if camera's in the studio.
Yeah.
Simple Google search
know
will get
what
you
our
there.
Actual, yeah. Yeah.
But,
it changed recently.
Facebook page is going to get you there, and you have an awesome Facebook presence. Oh, so many followers there, and the tours that you do, especially the puppy room.
Yeah, it's so much better. We'd like to be able to share, instead of a still picture. With still pictures, we do that too. But just look around. I want you to be with us.
Right,
it's like,
for sure.
It's your shelter. Take a look. See who's here. What it looks like and what everybody's, personalities are like.
So one more time, elevator speech. What's coming up Monday?
Dogs Playing for Life seminar. Mm-hmm. We have our volunteers, our staff, and 25 other people from different agencies across the state coming to hopefully learn how to enrich dogs' lives better at a shelter, any shelter.
And May 1st, ribbon cutting.
May 1st, ribbon cutting for Duke's Place in conjunction with AeroQuip Credit Union and our Artisan of Fleas event market.
Okay. Lydia from the Jackson County Animal Shelter joining us here today. Anything left untouched that I didn't get to there?
You're good, Mark.
Need to know about? Okay.
You're
very good.
I think
Monster's going to probably be coming back.
You think so?
I think so. If I were a betting man, I would bet my shiny Aldi's quarter that she'd be coming back. So.
So this will be to be continued.
Yes, to be continued. We'll have to have sequel. We'll have to have you come back on before the first, just to remind our listeners.
Yes,
okay?
Yeah, sounds great. Right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Okay. News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.